Amen. You know, when I was growing up in the church, the church many times was called the Old Ship of Zion. And we had songs about the Old Ship of Zion. We had it both in the melody of hymns. We had it in the red book. We had it in the blue book. And it was also in the white book, the Old Ship of Zion. And so today, the Old Ship of Zion, somebody says it has sailed. No, it hasn't sailed. It's still in the water. It's still sailing. My husband was in the Navy, as I've mentioned a few times. And when he was in the Navy, he was on three different kinds of ships. He was on a battleship, he was on destroyers, and he was on aircraft carriers. All three of them, that was during the Vietnam War. And I'm thinking about these ships, and I'm going to show you a picture in a few minutes. It was just a quote that I saw, and that's where this message comes from, because I saw that quote, and I thought, oh my goodness, it was just breathtaking. I felt like it was a quote, it was a message to the church. And so I began to pray about it. I took it to the Lord. I said, look at this, look at this. It was amazing. And I thought of my husband in his early days being there on those battleships and warships, destroyers and aircraft carriers. And then I think the only ship that I've been on and with some of you is a cruise ship. Got to go on a cruise ship twice. And I think that the church today wants to, we'd rather be on a cruise ship. But I'm going to tell you, church, today we cannot stay on a cruise ship in the church. It is warfare. And we know what's happening in this world. The battle is getting greater and fiercer and meaner and crazier and more wicked. It's just every day you turn on the TV, you're like, what is going on among these people? It's a battle between good and between evil, and it seems nobody knows the difference of what good and evil is except the church. And they don't like that one bit. You know, it just used to be the word that was so popular was tolerate us. Just be tolerant. Now, they will tolerate anything except good. Now, they don't tolerate anything good. But they want you and I to tolerate everything bad. Well, church, I want to declare to you today, me as a pastor, I just can't do that. I can't tolerate. I can't flow with them. I can't do it. I can't worry about offending you. And I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to do the best I can. And I sat with the Lord, and believe me, I do not feel qualified to stand in this place. If I felt qualified, you guys should just put me out anyway. But I think it's what's wrong with the church today. Many pastors are standing in these places, and people of God are doing all kinds of things, feeling all qualified, and we've made the church something that it's not supposed to be. Like, what is going on? We're not the only one, not the only churches with empty seats. Satan had his way with COVID. I hate to even talk about it because it's so long ago. But he had his way. And he shut down just about everything except his few favorite places. And then the result was this. He spoiled so many of God's people. The hatred for Israel and the hatred for the Jews that you and I are seeing, and the dangerous riots, and the evil voices are so loud. They're so hateful. They're so mean. Did you hear about the young man that said on an open mic, he said, oh, I wish I could just get out there and kill all those Zionists. He said, I'd kill them all if I could. Somebody says, well, that was just freedom of speech. No, it was a threat. It was a terrorist threat. But who can do anything today? There's no law. You say, why aren't they doing something? Why aren't they locking some of these people up? Well, they lock them up and let them out. It's like going fishing. Brother Art could tell us, you catch and release. Just throw the fish back. So when there's no law at the top, everything goes. In the name of nothing, in the name of evil. But while the evil voices are getting louder and louder and louder, it seems like the church voices and the pastors and the evangelists, it seems like our voices are getting softer and softer and softer. There seems to be an idol in the church today that's called be nice. You be nice and you turn the other cheek. And don't you say anything. You're supposed to be a Christian. And you want to talk about those Jew haters like that? Oh, yes, I do, and I will. Yes, I will. And you better too. Don't you go into a beauty shop, ladies, and let those women talk all about all the evil and talk about all the mess, and you sit there with your mouth shut as though you would be embarrassed if you opened it. They've got a loud voice, while we've got this little soft, sweet voice. Pastors don't want to say anything. Meanwhile, compromise has filled the church from ceiling to the floor. From your home, in every room, the job, compromise. And when compromise happens, if you'll just look back, you'll say, well, I'm not at the same spiritual place I was 5 years ago. Or maybe even a year ago. Because I, you know what? You know why, Pastor, I'm not the same place? Because I found out I'm under grace. I used to think I couldn't do anything, but now that I'm under grace, I can do anything I want. I would say, yeah, you can. In the borders of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his word. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Who asked you? Did God come and ask you? Do you think, wait a minute. Before I write this, before I have Paul write this down, maybe I should ask you what you think, brother. As my daddy would say, he never asked me one cotton picking thing. They just wrote it all down and said, now you walk in it. And if you walk in it, I promise you, 100% blessing. Oh, you'll have the troubles that they all have. But just like Vivian Brooks, they'll say you've got this, and you'll keep your head up and your shoulders back, and it won't move you. The woman was unmovable. I don't even know. You know what? I told Brother Mike this morning, sometimes I come in here, I don't even know what to say. It's just so crazy out there. And I know what you all are hearing stuff all week long. You're bombarded with it. So then see what we pastors have to deal with. You're bombarded with it. And so then the devil tells me, okay, but look, they're bombarded with this mess all week long. Do you think, Paulette, they want to come to church and hear it? I'm like, Oh, you're right, devil. You're kind of right, you know, they probably don't. But I'll say it anyway. That's what I'll do. I'll just take my chances. Because we're not a part of it. Jesus said, oh, we live in this world, but we're not a part of it. And you know what else he said? He said, Satan has no place in me. And the only way we're going to have no place, give him no place in us, is with no compromise. Because the church has compromised so much, you're just about in big trouble. I'm sure I told you this before over the years. But years ago, I mean, way back, a couple thousand years ago, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. There was something called pillow prophets. And they made the people feel so comfortable when they came to where the prophets were that they would pass out pillows, Lord. They would just pass out pillows to everybody because they were going to be so comfortable. They just put the pillow under their elbow and rest on it and watch the prophet prophesy. And how they would love what they said. And yet Jeremiah told us, God speaking through him, said those prophets have prophesied lies. They prophesied dreams that they did not dream and words, thus saith the Lord, that I didn't say. Now some speak the truth in this hour and some still don't. But I'm going to tell you, pastors don't want to say anything about it. But fear has filled the church. Compromise. Oh, comfort. Oh, we're not, listen, we're not passing out pillows. But boy, if you turn your radio on today, I love radio ministry. But if you turn online and you watch Facebook or radio or TV, you're going to get a lot of pillow prophets. They're not passing out pillows. But it'll sure make you feel good to listen to it. It does. I mean, it comforts you. It's so good. And I like to enjoy a good sermon, just like you do. And you know I don't do this every week. So, you know, you've got to have the broccoli to go along with the banana pudding. You got to have the filet, man. You got to have the baked potato loaded. But sometimes you just got to get plain old stuff that you just want to go, I don't want to be here. But this stuff has filled the church. And I think another one of the big things today outside of just the idol of be nice is the idol of entertainment. Oh, my goodness. This entertainment has so filled the mega churches today. It's unbelievable. Now, and I look at that. You know, I look at it. And you're like, who can compete? Lainey says, my sister, you know, we want to have a VBS. Well, so are we. But if you look at the big dogs, do you hear me? Is that all I have to say? But if you look at the big dogs, my Lord, there's not, they look at us and say, well, you little squirt. They have the machines. And they have the lights, and they have the food, and they have this, and they have that. All the things that money can buy. Because they have the elite with the money and the entertainment, and we'll entertain you, and we're going to take your kids. We'll take them over here. Well, we'll do this. We'll load them on buses. We'll load them on 20 buses, and we'll take them down to the ice skating rink. Where's BBS come into that? Oh, I'm not, okay, I'm not whining. Am I? Kind of sound like it a little bit. But anyway. But I'm just telling you, church, this is a day where you and I, you know, I've been talking about the pastor and the church, but this is for you too. We just can't turn our face all the time and look away. You've got to realize this is wrong, and this is not right, and this could lead me down a dead-end street if I'm not careful. If you compromise like this just a little bit, you were on the straight and narrow. And Jesus says the way to heaven is straight, and it is a narrow road. But he said there's a broad way, big old broad way. And it says many people get on the broad way, but few get on the little narrow way. Because on the broad way, there's all this entertainment and everything I'm talking about. Many find that, but he says, but the end thereof is destruction. It's not good. So we look at this narrow way and like, oh my goodness. But while this world's culture seems to, no, it doesn't seem to be taking over. It is taking over. And the bad thing is these tents you see down at Columbia University, and these tents all over these huge elite universities. One girl said, I paid $90,000 to go to that school. Little Jewish young woman. $90,000, and I can't even finish the semester because they may kill me. Who would have ever thought that would be in America? Oh, Bonhoeffer tried to warn. A priest in Germany tried to warn the church. You guys aren't loud enough. You're just sitting there letting Hitler rise up, and they're going to kill the Jews. They're going to exterminate them. Nobody thought anything about it. And these guys are out here right now. They got the same color. They got the same nice tents, nice T-shirts, same signs. Somebody's supporting them. Some say George Soros is behind it. He may be, but he can't be behind everything. So he's got some helpers. You and I better be praying about these people. And this stuff, it's a reality. Don't turn your head and say, well, I'm going to let CBN and, you know, 700 Club and all those guys pray for it. No, no, our prayers count too, church. So I want to show you this ship, if Kathy will put it up. Here's a little quote I was telling you about. When I saw this, I thought it was the most amazing thing and the most amazing read. Look at that. An entire sea of water can't sink a ship unless it gets where? Inside the ship. Similarly, the negativity of the world can put you down unless it can't put you down. Unless you allow it to get inside of you. Leave it up a minute. So none of this stuff will matter unless it gets on the inside of us. And when the compromise, you start out on that narrow like this, and if you just start to veer just a tiny little bit, I mean, you just veer off a little bit. Well, that's not hurting anybody but me. Yeah, I went out after work with the girls. We did some things we shouldn't have done. We went somewhere we shouldn't have gone. But you know what? Didn't hurt anyone but me. Well, so how about you? So pretty soon, if you keep veering off and compromising, you're going to find yourself way out here. I mean, just compromising. It could be the smallest of things, compromising with your TV. Compromising on what you say, the words you use. You know, you hear these words all day long. The people you work with using those four-letter words and ugly words, and pretty soon those words, if you're not careful, they won't sink your ship as long as they're out there. But if they start getting inside you, it's going to be like the Titanic, honey. It'll take you under and you didn't know what hit. I'm telling you, a lot of people may not like what they hear, but I'm going to tell you, cannot allow this stuff to get on the inside of you. We're either going to be the ship of Zion or we're going to be a sinking ship. There's no two ways about it. And I'll tell you another thing that just hurt my heart so bad. And I was so embarrassed that my daughter brought it to my attention. I hadn't heard it or read it yet. I'd already heard about T.D. Jakes, one of the leading fathers of America, going to Puff Diddy parties, homosexual acts, and all. I was just devastated for the Potter's house. There's some things that you can never put your thumb on, but you know it's wrong. But what Sarah showed me was the church in the Midwest, which is a neighbor to Wayne Neal. And while he was on the road all those years, his wife would go down there, and they really had good Pentecostal roots. An AG church, which you don't hold that against anyone. It's just whoever lets the culture of the world in. Well, the church began to grow and grow and grow and grow until it became a mega church. And I see it. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Oh, man, it just goes for acres as you're going down that highway to get to Landmark Church. Oh, it just fills acres. And the pastor's a neat guy. You know, he's just neat. Man, I love their prayer meeting. I watch them sometimes. And now he and his wife are going to retire, but they're putting their older boys in. And so every year they've always done something massive for the men's meeting, something massive for the women's meeting. And I don't want to tell you guys this, but I have to drive my point home. Probably already told you this one. So for the women's meeting, and I've been to New York, and the first time I went, the pastor's wife and the pastor were walking down toward Times Square, and what they call the naked cowboy stands out there in his underwear and plays a guitar, okay, with a cowboy hat. And so he's out there playing. They said, there's a naked cowboy. Well, what am I going to do with that? So anyway, I just said all that to say I didn't go looking for him. But you know what? You know what that megachurch did in Springville, Missouri? They didn't go looking for him, but they had their youth pastor dress up, or dress down, I should say, like the naked cowboy. Put his hat on, got his guitar, his little briefs, and entertained the ladies at that women's conference. It was called Color. That was about 5 years ago. So the naked cowboy gets up there for all those women at that women's conference. Ladies, believe me, he won't be at ours. And those women went crazy. They stood up. Yeah! More than you all did for me saying he's not going to be there, but I'm not going to say nothing. But just this month, last month, they had their men's meeting, their men's conference. So the first men's conference a couple of years ago, I remember this too. See, all this comes out slowly. But, I mean, they were big things, but they came slowly. So I remember them cleaning out all the chairs in the auditorium. It was probably thousands. I don't know how they did it. But anyway, they turned their church into an arena. Like Save Mart, what do they call it? Save Mart Center. And they had a monster truck show. Brought in these big old monster trucks and put on that show, and what all that was about to reach Jesus, I don't know. But it was loud and it was crazy, and they had the monster truck show. And my brother Wayne says, can't compete with the truck show. Well, I mean, a monster truck show in my church. So after that, the next year, they did the wrestling match. Just like you would see on TV. What is it, WWF? WFF? Whatever it is. So they had these big wrestlers, and they turned it into a wrestling ring. But this year, the devil pushed them to the max. And introduced them to a man that lived in Las Vegas. And was a stripper in Vegas. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this. And they brought this stripper in and the pole and had him rip his shirt off and dance around that pole. And the men went crazy. So this story gets worse. I thought it was better, but it got worse. So one of the pastors in the bunch, he jumped up with all boldness and he ran to the stage, whatever this man was on, and he grabbed an open mic and he said, "This is blasphemy! This is blasphemy! Jezebel is in the house! Jezebel's here!" And the sweet pastor that I've always loved jumped up there, grabbed that mic away from him and said, "Brother, you're out of order. You sit down. You sit down." Come to find out, Mark Driscoll, the man he sat down, was a pastor who uses cuss words, I mean bad words, in his sermons, smokes cigars, and has beer parties, wine parties at his, excuse me, I'm still holding the mic, at his board meetings. Well, they said Pastor and Mark Driscoll made up after a couple hours, and all was well. Now, I just looked this morning to see if they were still on. Man, they're still going. Some of their people was out there in the foyer saying, "We can't wait for church to start. We're so excited. We just can't wait." So see what I'm saying, church? It's just getting too crazy. And the devil is having a heyday with this church, but you know what he's wanting to do is just set everything down. Listen to this. I just heard this recently. This was off 700 Club. Jordan, what's his name? Gordon. Gordon took his dad's place. He said, "I recently heard of a Chinese pastor who toured a few of America's mega churches. And he went back to China and he reported this. I am amazed at how much the American mega church was able to accomplish without the Holy Spirit. He said the presence of the Holy Spirit was not there, but the people were all there, and they were shouting and dancing and all of this, but the Holy Spirit was nowhere." All I want to say, church, is just beware. Just pay attention to your own lives, to your own family, to your own church. I have to pay attention to me, and you pay attention to you, and you pay attention to what your babies are doing, what your children are doing, what your young people are doing, what's on the TV, what's on the radio, what are they listening to, what do you listen to during the week? Just pay attention, because if we bring the world's habits into our lives, again, it will bring total destruction. And if we ignore these things, then guess what's going to happen? Deception will come. And I never dreamed once that Pastor John Lindell would ever get deceived. T.D. Jakes? A theologian of our time? What? The most revelation any man has ever carried? Oh, no. They are only men. And God said, "Be not deceived, because I am not mocked." No one will mock me. I don't care who they are, what they've done, how many books they've written. I do not care. But he said, "No, I won't be mocked. Doesn't matter to me who they are." So we got to really pay attention, church, because there's going to be a falling away in the last hours. That's what Timothy told us. He said, in the last days, just before the coming of the Lord, there'll be a falling away. And so I was praying this week after I heard that about John Lindell and James River. And I said, "Lord, please fill us with your kingdom. Please just raise up your body, raise up the church. Fill us with your kingdom, Lord, with your grace and your holiness and your conviction that Lynn prayed about last week. Fill us with your humility and your mercy and your grace and your love and your glory. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, with you and with Jesus, your Son. We've got to draw a distinction between us and the world. There has to be a difference between us, church. It doesn't mean you go lock in a room and don't go out. No, we need people in all of these places. We need people in political arenas. We need people on TV. We need political journalists. We need people, the God's people, that will stand up and be who they are. I just want us, the body of Christ, I pray God fill us so full of heaven. Because if we're full with him, we won't be able to get full of bitterness. And our minds won't get full of fear and strife and jealousies and worry and confusion. My goodness, the confusion. The confusion, it doesn't only hit our young people, it hits us. Why? Because the devil is after your ship. He wants to sink the church of Zion. He wants to sink the old ship of Zion, the church. He wants to take us down. And we won't have any room for these silly religions to be religious. If you're just religious and you talk a good talk and, oh, I'm this and I'm that. Oh, you might praise him one day, but the next day you can't. Listen, people are watching. They watch when you can shout praise one day and the next day you can't. Oh, no, they pay attention. And you know what that is? Very, very shallow. When I see people on cloud nine one day and the next day they're way down here, like, now watch out. You better get a grip. Get the word in you, because what you got is not working. Pick that picture back up, Kathy. I want to show you. Go over to the book of Ephesians. Oh, wait. Did I tell you to go? Let's go over here to, I want to show you Ezekiel 22 first. I think it's 22, Kathy. Let me see. I really thought it was. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me show you. Just to endorse what I have just said. I won't bring you anything unless I bring the word to either follow it or go before it. Ezekiel chapter 22, look at verse 26. Now, this is Old Testament, and they had priests then, but now we have pastors and teachers and preachers, apostles and prophets and evangelists. Verse 26. Her priests, talking about Israel's priests, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things, the church. I would say that Midwest church profaned the holy things of God. To do that in the sanctuary, to profane his holy things, they have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. He said they just messed up everything. But God has a way of bringing it back. And yes, in the last days, there will be a great falling away. The apostate church. The apostate means falling away. But he also said there will be a great outpouring. A great awakening. A great reformation. And that will cause us to be able to see reality and see things that we had never seen before. And this word, when revival hits and awakenings come, this thing comes so alive in you. You're like, oh man, I knew that was true, but I never knew it like this. And all of a sudden, it just starts breathing in you and it has life. Listen, I love this word, but I need an awakening. We just have to have an awakening, church. How we need it. Okay, let's go back down now, back to Ephesians. Now I'll show you this. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, I said, Lord, fill us. And then I went right over to this, and he says, I have filled you, my girl. I have filled my church. You tell my sweet people this, so I won't leave you with all this bad news. I want you to look at this old ship of Zion. We are still the ship of Zion, aren't we, church? We are still his ship. Look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he will put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Look at this, underline it. Who fills all in all. Woo, that's so heavy. He said, I put all things under my son Jesus' feet. It's not under Jake's feet. It's not under Lindell's feet. It's not under Benny Hinn's feet. It's not under Pastor Paulette's feet. It's not under your feet. He said, it's under my son's feet. And you, since my people are his body, he said, then I have filled you with him. You are filled with him all in all. All in all. Are y'all awake? You better not make me preach this to you again next Sunday. It's not good. I mean, it is, but. No, we've been filled with him. He is the I am. The I am what? Oh, I am powerful. I am filled. I am blessed. I am healed. I am holy. Everything he is, you quit saying, I am depressed. I am this. I am that. All negative. Remember, negativity, if it gets in us, it will sink our ship. But we've got the great I am in us. All the great I am. And then now you say, well, I am. Woo, I am healed. I am blessed. Okay, and then let him deal with whatever comes. 22 and 23. 419, look at this. Chapter 4, verse 19. Who being past, oh, I think I got the wrong one. I misprinted that. 122, let me see, 19. Okay, I'm going to leave that. Let's go to 413. 413, look at this. So we are filled with God. Ephesians, oh yeah. Look at 413. I'll get there in a minute. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness. Somebody say fullness of Christ. I'd say that's pretty full, wouldn't you? Full of God, full of Christ, full of the fullness of Christ. One more thing, 518. Look at 518. 518. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled, somebody say be filled with the Spirit. Now we're full of God, we're full of Christ, and we are full of the Spirit. So we are pretty full, and if that's true, then we may as well see it, and we can't fool with all of this stuff trying to come into his church, because we are too full to have any of that stuff. We're just too full. We don't have time for it. We don't have a place for it. Like Jesus. Man, we're full of the truth of the Holy Spirit. We're full of his power, full of his comfort, full of his peace, full of direction. He's our counselor. He leads us in the way we should go. There's no room for compromise. When we're filled up with him and with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, we have no room for compromise. You say, then how'd this fear get in my head? You allowed it. I mean, then midnight hours, Satan will come and give you lie after lie after lie after lie. He doesn't know the truth. But we're always, it seems like the church, and according to what I just told you about it, just a couple of churches, it just seems that they're always looking for another pig pen. Another pig pen. Well, we've got all these wonderful things. But the Bible says a prodigal son wasted his father's inheritance on riotous living, on just doing whatever he wanted to do. And he wasted it. And these people are wasting money. No telling how much they had to pay that youth pastor to behave like that. No telling how much they paid for the monster trucks and this stripper to come. It looks like the pole, the Asherah pole that they worshiped in the wilderness. I'm telling you, the idols are here. Well, I'm going to close with this. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. And I got to tell you, why is all this happening so much? Why has it gotten so crazy so quickly? And just, it's almost like a woman in labor pains. You know, when you are having that baby and you're getting right down to where, you know, you're just almost there. And you want that doctor, and the nurse says, he's out on the golf course, but he'll be here in a minute, and you just scream, no, get him there. And the pains now are coming so close together, they get harder, natural labor pains. They get harder, I hope no one's pregnant in the house, but they get harder and harder and closer together. The pain started out 10 minutes apart, then they're 5 minutes apart, and then they're 1 minute apart. And then pretty soon they're so close together, you hardly have time to breathe. You're like, this pain went for 45 minutes, and I got 2 seconds to breathe, and then here comes another one. And that's just about the way it is now with the world is having these birth pangs. Jesus said, way back there 2,000 years ago, the disciples said, what do we think about all this happening? These wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and all these things. And Jesus said, oh, these are just birth pains, but not yet. We're 2,000 years down the road, folks. It's getting pretty close to the coming of the Lord, very close. Let me read, and I'll stop. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Give me a nod when you have it. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, Paul says, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. I'm asking you that this morning. Don't you soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the Word or by the letter, as if from us as though the day of Christ had come. Some were saying, oh, he's already come. We're living in the tribulation period now. He said, no, that's hogwash. You were not there yet. So don't get twisted by these theologies and doctrines of devils and seducing spirits that's trying to, and not only trying, but they are seducing a lot of God's people. Verse 3. Now, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, the coming of the Lord. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's talking about the Antichrist. I would say most Christians would believe that the Antichrist is alive and well and living on the earth now, getting ready to appear. But he said, before you see that, and we believe we're going to be caught up together in the rapture to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and be with him there for 7 years before we come back. But all hell will be breaking loose on earth during that great tribulation period. But he said, but before he comes back, I'm just telling you, there's going to be a great falling away, and then the Antichrist will come. After this great falling away, there's nothing else. You and I will be caught up to be with the Lord. Amen? So I tell you, Jesus is coming soon, and we will either fill ourselves with the things of this world and the culture and the worry and the strife and all the stuff that goes with it, or we'll fill ourselves with this and communication with God. Psalms 19:14 has always been a real favorite to me. He says, David prayed, he said, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. He even mentioned what I think on in my heart and in my mind. So pay attention. We've got to pay attention. What are we thinking on the most? Are you caught up in yourself or in lack somewhere in your finances? He said, don't do that. Seek me first. And all those things will be added. Because we want even the thoughts of our heart and mind to be accepted in his sight. Amen. So why don't you stand with me, O ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Okay, we're going to pray for Brother Doyle. Sarah says that Lainey texted her and said they took Doyle to ER during the service by ambulance. He forgot his words while he was during worship. And so how many would pray with me right now? Hallelujah. Father, you see Brother Doyle. You know his heart is gentle and humble toward you. And Father, I thank you for the man of God. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. I've never met a man that has the fruits of the Spirit. I believe he has them all, as Doyle does. Lord, whether he had them or not, I believe you'd still come to him. But, Lord, I know the church is under attack. I've been under attack. Every pastor I know, every ministry I know, every church I know is under attack. And, Lord, my message, I'm sure it was much milder today than it should have been. We don't even hardly know what to say in these days, but we want to cover our sweet people, our sheep, and take good care of them and teach them. Teach us, Lord. Show us what to do. But I pray you will be with Doyle now, and I pray you'll restore him. We cancel out every weapon that was formed against him. Oh, yes, the weapon formed, but you said no weapon formed against us will prosper. So, Lord, we command the falling down of those arrows. They will not prosper. We cancel out, Lord, the assignment of hell, and we call the assignment of heaven. We saw call the assignment of the kingdom, Lord, because you live in him, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, I want to share this with you. Portia was telling me just before church that John Kilpatrick preached along these same lines this morning. I mean, the church is grieved, folks, for these things that's happened. We're grieved. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I mean, these things just shake us. And so I'm going to try to listen to that message today. His name is Pastor John Kilpatrick. And a good way to remember that church is it's called CHP, Church of His Presence. Church of His Presence, CHP, John. And it'll get you there. So was that message today? Okay, so make sure you hear that. Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Amen.